CJAM 99.1 FM programming is hosted almost exclusively by community volunteers. The views and opinions expressed on the following program are that of the host and their guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of CJAM FM. For more information and resources, visit our website at cjam.ca.
Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's HandyLink. You're listening to HandyLink on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
I'm your host, Cam Wells.
In this segment of our show, Marianne Ambrose will be sharing a little bit of her disability story. So, can you tell me a little bit of your disability story?
Aloha! I'm Marianne of White. My name is Marianne Ambrose. I'm the author and Apple game developer of the Acts of Kindness series, bringing 200 folk man as puppets. The books are written for animation movies with the sign language characters and a soundtrack by Lucy Lynch in The Perfect Way. I just wanted to share with you that I just received the Awesome Foundation Grant Award in Honolulu, Hawaii, the Oahu chapter, $4,000. And what I'm doing with that is I am hiring Jay Stoyan of the Disability to hire persons with disabilities and veterans to help me promote my Acts of Kindness series.
So,
and I'm grateful to be here today. I also wanted to share with you, it's October, it's Anti-Bullying Month, and we are gifting the Waikiki Hawaii School for the Deaf and Blind my book and coloring books for ocean cleanup, anti-bullying, climate change, and we are partnering with Leon McLaughlin with Clean Water Foundation out of Seattle, who will be delivering a water unit too. So we're grateful for Awesome Foundation to allow us to have the $1,000 grant, which has brought me here today on your show. So nice you.
It's my pleasure. So what inspired you to get involved with building up the disability community through your writings and your work?
Well, when I was growing up in Michigan, Grand Rapids, Michigan, I was experiencing hearing loss in grade school and middle ear infection, and you know what it was like to lose some of your hearing temporarily at times, and middle ear infection, swimming, and I don't know, I just had a passion that I wanted to learn sign language, which I did in high school, and that was my career path. So I went to Central Michigan University and graduated with an undergraduate degree in audiology communication disorder, psychology minor. I commuted to Lansing Community College and worked on my sign language interpreting skills, and got grandfathered in to be a social worker with the in Grand Rapids, Michigan, for a mental health aid called Transitions Community Support Program. Now, that was 30-some years ago. That's when President Bush signed the American Disabilities Act. And through my journey of career in sales and medical sales, I was in Detroit, and I was sitting in a hotel lobby, and the manager lost roll, and she drove her SUV through the hotel lobby. So I suffered from neck, back, broken ankle, hearing loss, vertigo, got evaluated the next day, and went to apply for disability back in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I requested a sign language interpreter to help me with understanding what people were saying in Haitian, and it's my right. And I was told that they didn't do that there. And I said, you don't know who I am, because 30-some years ago, I was a case manager and interpreter. And then they told me that they didn't have any money in the budget to do that. I said, yes, you do. Trying to just push me away and not think about persons with disabilities and knowing the right of how a sign language interpreter is available. And you need to be educated. And so the journey continues from there. I met Dr. Michael Seidman of the University of Michigan, who evaluated my hearing, came out with some products for ringing in the ears. I attended several of his seminars, and through that journey, I met chiropractors in California who actually worked on it. And some of my hearing did come back, so it was the upper cervical part, the ones, the twos, and the threes. So I talk a lot about chiropractic. So. And then I had the opportunity to go to Hawaii, and that's where the inspiration came for the Acts of Kindness series. So thank you. So ask questions here, and I will continue on with the Act Kind series.
So curious, when your rights weren't being respected and you were essentially given the runaround, how did you keep yourself strong? How did you keep assertive and recognize that as a person with a disability, you can and should have these protections and these services available to you?
Well, you know, it was really frustrating. Very frustrating, first of all, because I worked as a case manager, and I had a clientele of 30 deaf clients that I brought over there. And very disappointing that there was no ongoing education, especially in the Department of Social Services. That's where, you know, you're going evaluated. They, you know, this is your benefits, this is your right, this is what I worked into the system. Showing proof, an audiogram that I was in a major accident, and, you know, ringing in the ears and having a background in audiology and knowing what this is like. And yeah, it was very, very frustrating to advocate for myself now. And so I did have hiring an attorney and having and requesting a sign language interpreter, meeting with the attorney, because I needed that, because I couldn't hear everything correctly, and that's all critical information. So some people just blow it away, or don't need that, I'll just talk louder, or, you know, read my lips. And secondly, the Department of Social Services is a very, very noisy, corral area, and it's very difficult to focus, answer the question, and sit there. You got anxiety. You know, I'm injured. I'm not sitting there interpreting, helping somebody else. I'm in physical pain. I don't know what's going to happen. I've got vertigo, which, you know, you're buzzing, you're moving around. I got ringing in the ears. And so, yeah, so I'm grateful, you know, the universe put me into the role prior to it, and now I'm advocating about it. And I'm grateful to be on the Disabilities Channel to share that story, because if it's happening to me, it's happening to somebody else. And we talk about veterans, too. I'm just going to highlight that veterans are able to get disability benefits for tinnitus, ringing in the ears also. So I encourage people to check out your benefits, Social Security, in the United States, and keep up with that, because they are continuing to open up services for the military veterans. Now, on my journey to Hawaii, I went to visit, and I ended up staying. And the universe provided me to stay on a nice sailboat and be a caretaker. And through that, I met Captain Bob, who is a sail instructor, who is a chiropractor, and his wife was a acupuncturist. So I went through ongoing chiropractic treatment out there in Hawaii. And I was able to sail, and I met my deaf friend Scott, who lost his hearing at age 7, and he spoke very well and had a lot of therapy. So him and I had to go around the Hawaiian Islands. I ended up interpreting sign language at the Unity Church of Hawaii for over a decade for him. And through guided meditation, we became Reiki masters, which is another form of I was able to read Louise Hay and how to heal yourself and how you heal your mind, body, spirit. And you know, with ears, and sometimes it's broken, but, you know, it's a comeback through chiropractic treatment. And so it was just a blessing. And through guided meditation, I asked what my next purpose was. And the universe was telling in my inner child, in my intuitive side, that you're going to write a series of children's sign language books with puppets. I laughed. I'm like, what? Where did this come from? You're going to write a series of children's sign language books with puppets. I laughed again. I said, okay, show me the sign. How am I going to do this? Tell me the who, what, when, where, why, how. I got it. I want to advocate. I want to uplift the world. And we have a half a billion people now with a hearing loss worldwide, especially military moms and dads coming home from being of service who can't hear their own children or grandchildren. On the island of Oahu, we have a lot of military, such as the Navy, the Air Force, the Army, the Marine, and the Coast Guard. So we want to give a big shout out, thank you to everybody who has served us. And I want to be of service. So getting back to the Acts of Kindness series. So now I know what my next purpose is. And I'm walking down the mall with my deaf friend, and I see this Tree of Folk Manas puppet. And there's a chicken puppet that I put my hands in and their glove, and I could sign with it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they're awesome. Then there was a glove puppet where it was a bumblebee where I could do the finger spelling alphabet. I'm like, how cool of tools are to educate our youth or all ages of the heart? And it's just started stemming from there. So I called the Folk Manas Company, spoke with Elaine Colas, the sales manager, agent and send me some catalogs. And so she did. And my deaf friend and I would sit there and I'd have a couple of them shipped to me. And I was working on my Reiki Masters, energy healing with my deaf friend. And just, I don't know, the creativity just opened up. My heart opened up. My chakras opened up. I wasn't holding on to that negativity. And Scott taught me more about forgiveness. So give the person who drove the SUV through the wall, who wasn't paying attention because they were texting. And we want people to be aware of this. Forgiveness of other things, forgiveness of myself. And things just opened up and lightened up. I wasn't hanging on to the resentment, the anger. I'm here right now, and learned great messages of divine message of Hawaii, love, happiness, and thanks. And thank you in Hawaii, ho'oponopono. And so I learned a lot over there, and it was just a blessing. So living on the sailboat, all this garbage swirling around, and I wanted to know why. And it's because of the Great Pacific Garbage Patch between Hawaii and California. So what I learned, because I was a sailor, and I got to interpret for my deaf friend who became a sailor, who we had a chiropractor, sail instructor, and an acupuncturist wife. So we got a lot of treatment on the boat. A lot of spiritual healing out there on the water. The ions are flying at you. And all these signs and messages of peace, love, happiness, and things. So I met Suzanne Sims at the Unity Church of Hawaii. She's a writer, a playwright, and she wanted part of our project. And Lucy Lynch sang at the church, got this angelic voice. She created a band called The Perfect Wave. And Nick's guitar sounds like Whales and Dolls. So not only I have ideas for the characters of the book, I have a storyline of the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. We have sign language characters and puppet, and no one has done anything in puppets, by the way, with sign language, animation movies. It's all flowing. It's all channeling to me. And so we wrote the first book, Underwater Acts of Kindness. Now, we feature Captain Moore from the Moore Institute out of Long Beach, California area, because in 1997, he sailed across the Great Pacific Garbage Patch in the Trans-Pacific Sailboat Race, which happens every 2 years from California to Hawaii. And we did some research, and we incorporated him into the book about how the size of the gyra is, all the plastic mess that was floating around, and, you know, showing up in California, Hawaii, around by sailboat. Stuff was coming across from Japan from the tsunami, and so why to know why. Great. Thank you so much for having me here. The website is www.actsofkindnessseries.com.
I'd like to thank you for taking time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
In this segment of our show, Sean Wiltshire will be giving us an update on his employment efforts. So with all the recent positive press through things like the Paralympics, do you think that would have any sort of impact on disability employment in terms of people recognizing that persons with disabilities are valuable as workers?
I think that it's incredibly important for people to see folks with disabilities doing everyday things, but also extraordinary things. It's one of those things where it puts people on an equal playing field. It's the understanding that, you know, I don't have the capacity to do some of the Paralympic stuff. So it's getting people to understand that value isn't just in what people consider ability. It's also in the demonstration of sport, commitment, and the idea of achieving something that not many folks can, disability or not. So I really think it opens up people's eyes to the possibility. And that's what I think we always talk about, Cam, is the possibility. We don't want to limit folks to what we're simply saying that, oh, well, you need a job. We want people to be extraordinary, to have their extraordinary talent highlighted. And I think the Olympics are a great opportunity to be able to say both, you know, other groups in our community that are not only folks with disabilities, but other minorities, to say that we have capacity, we have the skill, and demonstrating it through the Olympics is the highest level of accomplishment.
So, that being the case, once the door has been opened for workers with disabilities and they gain this recognition, this notoriety, how do we keep from sliding back into old habits and old assumptions?
Well, I think it's like all folks in our community, certain people possess skills that not everybody has. So I think it's the acknowledgement that athletes who are performing at the Paralympics are working at a level that many able-bodied folks will never reach. But it's the understanding that, again, it's the possibility of opportunity. given the opportunity to demonstrate my skills at work, given to demonstrate my skills in a particular sport. The way we don't slide back into this is to not make it about, you know, to acknowledge the sacrifice and the work that folks put into the Paralympics, but to just acknowledge that they are also regular folks that have jobs. They are regular folks that participate in their community. It's the acknowledgement of the extraordinary feat of them. And that feat may be important. But they are just like everybody else. Folks we all know who have disabilities, who just work, who are living their best lives the best way they can, in often in communities that don't always welcome or aren't always accessible, but they're always finding new ways to overcome those barriers. Same way that if we look back on the Paralympics, the same way it developed. It was the understanding that folks with disabilities have capacity. How do we demonstrate that capacity so folks can see it in the world of sport? Because as you know, many folks who have disabilities participate in sports feel often excluded from the mainstream. The idea that, you know, folks with cerebral palsy may not be able to, you know, play at a level that would put them in the PGA. But they can play at a level that within the community is demonstrating ability and commitment. And some of them are probably better than PGA. But it's that idea that we give opportunity, because not everybody knows what the potential of any individual is.
So what's the latest in your own push for employment equality?
Well, there's two things, actually. One is we're seeing now with some of the changes, I think, that the federal government will be making to the foreign worker program, where entry-level jobs were sort of not as readily available. That will open up some opportunities because we continue to have labor market challenges. And one item that's kind of not related, but is, I want to talk a little bit about the Canadian dental plan. Because a lot of folks with disabilities who are on low incomes and marginalized in an income area have been able to access this program. 632,000 Canadians have been able to receive some dental care. It's not a big doll, but it is an opportunity for people to be able to address sometimes what can be an underlying health issue. So I think anything that supports our communities to have better medical care and access to care are two things that will always help. And I always say to folks, a smile and an opportunity to greet a customer is a necessary part of being a team player. So having good dental care is also very linked to being able to attach yourself to the labor force. If you don't have the capacity to speak correctly or eat correctly or smile and show people your willingness to you know, listen or work with them, then you're at a disadvantage. So I've recently been doing some research on Canadian dental plan, and it's starting to take a hold. So even though it's not a solve-all, it is an ability for over 600,000 Canadians to be able to access some medical care that previously they could not. So that will help folks be able to make a permanent attachment to the labor force.
That sounds like a great initiative, in so much as you mentioned, it could be an underlying symptom of something more serious. You don't want someone acquiring like a long-term disability when a simple root canal could be the answer.
Absolutely. And if we're looking at, you know, government has talked a lot about sort of cost-benefit analysis and evidence-based decision-making. We know if we give folks good dental care, their health will improve. And for folks with disabilities who often have ongoing health issues, this is just one other thing that we're trying to ensure, I think, as our society, that we include people in this process so that, again, they can have opportunity. The really important thing, I think, Cam, to also mention is that we don't want to define success for other folks. We want them to have their own definition. And it's really important that communities support people on their journey. Their definition of success and what our definition of success may be could be totally different. So I think it's really important not to impose both our guidelines or our ideals about what success are onto any community. It's the idea here is giving folks the opportunity to live up to their potential and their definition of
success. I'd thank you for taking time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
No problem.
HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
In a classroom, in residence, or online, sexual violence is prevalent across campuses, yet many survivors remain silent. If you have experienced sexual violence, it's important to know that it was not your fault and you are not alone. The University of Windsor has partnered with Reese to make online reporting available for students and staff who are a part of the campus community. You can create an anonymous report or access information and resources 24/7. Reese gives you the option to document and report harassment, misconduct, or assault in whatever way you choose. Visit reescommunity.com to learn more. Reese, respect, educate, and empower survivors at reescommunity.com.
Welcome back to HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard about the creative disabilities work being done by Marianne Ambrose, and Sean Wiltshire gave us an update on disability employment matters. In this segment of our show, Cody Williams will be telling us a little bit about Team Possibilities. So what can you tell me about Team Possibilities?
So the Possibilities Program is a community development and outreach program based in Loma Linda, California, and we are part of Loma Linda University Medical Center. Our program was created in 2001 to provide a continuum of care for our patients with disabilities. Our then vice president of our rehab hospital identified a disconnect between us treating our patients inpatient and them leaving the hospital with a disability. So if they attained an injury in a tragic accident or they were living with a debilitating disease, we wanted to, as a hospital, to provide a continuum of care for them once they were discharged and went home. So part of building that program was based on the needs of our community. So we started with support groups for a variety of different disabilities. We have social and recreational activities. We have adaptive athletics. So over those years, we've grown those programs really dependent on the needs of our on the community that we serve, which also includes veterans. So although our program is, our overhead is funded by the hospital, all of the resources that we provide to our members of Possibilities are philanthropic dollars. So every dime that gets donated to the program is what provides those resources to the community.
So how do you reach out to the disability community to let them know that you have these programs and services available?
So not only patients of Loma Linda, but any community member can be a member of Possibilities. We do have a peer visiting program where we do a peer match with patients that are inpatient in our hospital. We try to reach them before they're discharged to provide them with support and encouragement, and share with them about the resources that we have at Possibilities to give them new direction and hope. So we connect with our patients while they're in the hospital. And then we also, through different community outreach activities that we have, we kind of spread the word. We partner with an organization called Inland Empire Disabilities Collaborative, which is a collaborative of over, I believe, 4,000 organizations that provide resources to people with disabilities and seniors. So there's a network of organizations that provide a variety of resources, and so we partner with them in our region and then also throughout the country.
So you mentioned supports for veterans. I'd imagine that includes things like mental health supports.
So we're a non-clinical program. We're community outreach, so we don't provide any therapy or mental health services, but we do offer that through our hospital.
So would that include providing direction if it's not a service that you offer directly, saying, we don't provide that, but here's where you can go to look for help?
Yeah, I think, you know, we kind of are a one-stop shop in the sense of referrals when it comes to things that we can't provide, our program can't provide. We have those community collaborations and the resources to refer people to the needs that they might have.
So, in your time with Possibilities, has there been any success moment or story that stands out for you?
You know, when I came to the program in 2008, it was fairly new. I think we had 200 members. We have over 8,000 now since 2008. So we've grown incrementally, and I think that's just by creating awareness in the community about the support that we provide. Growing those programs and building a community where people feel like they belong and that they're supported is really the most important thing that we do. We do have a Paralympic training program where we sponsor different athletes in a variety of different para sports. And this year we just had two athletes participate and compete in the Paris Paralympics, both in paracycling. And one of our athletes got a bronze medal. So that was a shining moment for our Paralympic training program. But I think the stories about, you know, people thriving and being successful in their lives, we just had a fashion show fundraiser this last weekend, and it really highlighted that all of the models were members of our program with disabilities, and really just highlighted their journey and their lives and how they've overcome odds and, you know, broken down barriers and found a healthy way of living in the community that we've created. And so hearing those success stories are always the highlight of the work that we do.
So I'd love to hear a little more about this fashion show. What types of models with disabilities were included? What types of conditions they have?
So we had 15 different models. There was Down syndrome, spinal cord injury, traumatic brain injury, stroke survivors, polio survivors. We had one of our little girls, she's blind. We have another amputees were in the fashion show. Just a variety of different disabilities. It was really a celebration, really, of their lives. It was so cool to bring them all together, and we had different donors that donated adaptive clothing for them, and we had two different runways, so we got to highlight, you know, them, and really just show what is possible, and it was empowering and inspiring to, you know, those that came and attended the event.
Like, thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
Friends, I love disability innovation, the novel approach to disability awareness. What Marianne described in the form of sign language puppets, something young kids with hearing impairments would need and respond to. And we should be asking the question, why not? Such a simple thing that can make all the difference. Society needs people setting those precedents. They need someone to say, this might sound like an out-there idea. Once it's put into play, it should become the standard. It should become something that persons with disabilities all over can benefit from. The only trouble with that is someone has to be first. Someone has to be willing to take that step. Be willing to say, this idea is out-of-the-box thinking, but can it work? Can it make a real difference for persons with disabilities? And that, my friends, is the only question. Not whether it's something that's ever been done before, but is it something that can make a real, lasting impact? Is it something that can spark change and awareness? If you can do that, then I say it's worth doing. And, as I discussed with Sean, disability awareness is growing. Not by major leaps and bounds, but you can't expect that in any given awareness type. But it is making progress. It's taking those steps in the right direction, and any way that really opens doors is something that's welcome, in my opinion. Because once the doors are open, people know that this can be done. This way of thinking can become something betters the world for persons with disabilities. This has been
HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.